Welcome to the Divorce Hour with Alyssa Panitz. We want to support and comfort anyone going through this painful journey and be the guiding light so many people are looking for. Going through a divorce will come at you with great force from many different directions. The financial, the emotional, lifestyle, time with your children, mental health, and domestic violence. If you listened to the program last week, I mentioned October's Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we here at the Divorce Hour are devoting a lot of time to bringing attention to this cause, especially when it involves a divorce. Welcome to the Divorce Hour with Alyssa Panitz. When a person is encountering a lot of emotional turmoil because their entire world just got turned upside down because they are going through a divorce and they are the victim of domestic violence by a spouse who is abusing them, it's hard for them to process the many, many questions being asked by the lawyers, the accountants, the financial planners, parent coordinators that need a fast turnaround and your signature at the bottom of a binding document that states you agree to the terms. That is why it is crucial your emotional well-being is a top priority during this journey. It is that important. You know, like when you're on an airplane and the pilot or flight attendant says, in case of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first so you can help others? Well, it's the same drill here. And that's why on today's show, we're going to explore things like why your self-worth and your mental wellness helps you think, connect, function, so you can come out ahead. And we're also going to keep using the words empowerment throughout this broadcast, and you'll see why. Today, you're going to hear from Elizabeth Rosalind Golander, a lawyer based in New Jersey, psychotherapist and certified divorce coach, Pepita Spinelli, Susan Guthrie, mediator and host of the Divorce and Beyond podcast, and empowerment expert, Catherine Ford. And I want to open the show today by welcoming Elizabeth Rosalind Golander to our program. And, you know, while every case comes with its fair share of challenges, one of the biggest obstacles a lawyer will face when someone is dealing with mental illness, which can be defined as things like bipolar, severe depression, or addiction. These health conditions can have a direct impact on a person's emotions, their thinking, or behavior. Mental illness can also affect how a person functions in a social setting, work, or with their family. And how can mental illness impact your divorce? Well, Elizabeth sees a lot of this in her practice and has worked in many of these cases and is here to explain everything to us. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. How has mental illness played a role in divorce, especially given the COVID pandemic?
We've definitely seen an uptick in mental health disorders and mental health and mental illness since the COVID pandemic came upon us. A lot of times, you know, when we have a case that deals with mental illness, either before or after the pandemic, the first question I really kind of ask myself and ask the client, is it a mental health issue that is a diagnosed ailment, something that has been confirmed by a doctor, or could it be the stress from the process, right? We're dealing with people that are going through an extremely difficult emotional roller coaster. I say it all the time, I meet the best people at the worst of times. So that's the first question. Is it a mental health issue, or is it stress from the process that they're going through, which is extremely difficult to cope with? I definitely have seen an increase in mental health issues since the pandemic in our cases. We're dealing with people that have been trapped at home for a very long time. And if they already had mental health issues before the pandemic, such as anxiety or depression, the isolation that has occurred with the quarantines, the lack of communication with people face-to-face, or potentially even being stuck at home in an abusive environment, I think has certainly exacerbated people's mental health issues. And for those that are not being treated, has made it a lot worse and has made it difficult in a divorce because now that's one other thing we have to deal with, one other thing we have to figure out to, A, either get them the help they need, to protect children in a case like that, to protect a spouse from somebody that is unwell and perhaps can do something harmful. So it's definitely something that we've seen an increase in because of the pandemic, for sure.
You just led me into my next question. When you're going through a divorce, can you ask for a psychiatric evaluation of your spouse? And if so, how do you go about doing that?
So you can. I mean, if there is already a diagnosis put in place, there's definitely going to be questions first involving what kind of diagnosis, what kind of illness are we dealing with? Is this something that can be treated? And if the person is on daily medications, then it's under control and it's not really a risk to anybody. Or are we dealing with something that is debilitating and there's a history of frequent hospitalizations, for example, and their stability is put into question because they are not consistently being treated, or one day they take their medication and they don't. And so if there is a concern regarding that and there is a pattern of outbursts, a pattern of incidents that occur that somebody would question, are they okay? You know, a sane person or somebody that is coping with day-to-day life normally wouldn't be acting this way, wouldn't be doing these things. We would make an application to the court giving examples of everything that's been transpiring, what the concerns are, and requesting that the court order an independent evaluation be performed by an expert appointed by the court.
You know, you mentioned medications. Are you allowed to ask the other side what medications their client is on, especially when there's minor children involved?
That's a really great question. The court is going to do whatever it has to do to make sure the children's best interests are kept at the forefront of every case involving custody and parenting time. So I always tell clients that it is better to be upfront and open about any types of medications because, look, realistically, in the world that we live in today, there are so many people that are on anti-anxiety medications, that take prescription medication for depression. Just because you are taking that medication, just because you have a diagnosis for either depression or anxiety or a bipolar disorder, if that issue is under control and you are being treated for it and there are no negative ramifications with regard to your ability to parent, I say be upfront about it. Every other person is taking some type of prescription medication. And I tell my clients, if every person was going to lose custody who has depression or anxiety, nobody would have custody of their children. You know what I mean? So we would ask if there's a history of mental health issues. We do ask what medications, if any, the person is taking. Also to make sure they're being compliant, because we want to make sure that if there is an issue, that they're taking care of it for the benefit of the children and so that there are no mishaps during parenting time.
How does one, such as yourself, prepare for a case that involves a spouse with mental health issues or the opposing counsel is making those allegations against your client?
So a lot of what happens in family law is, of course, he said, she said, and it's really up to the judge to determine whether or not there's an issue of fact and whether they want to explore it. Each side is going to present their case, give as many examples as they can, offer as much proof as they can. You know, obviously, if I have a client who comes to me and says, look, my husband is taking all these prescription medications, because we're not just talking about mental illness, as in depression, anxiety. We could be talking about an addiction disorder, which could be classified as a mental illness or an illness. You know, my husband is taking all these prescription medications that render him incapacitated that aren't even prescribed to him. And look at, here are all the bottles that are stashed in his nightstand, you know, and here's a picture of it. We present that evidence to the court. We tell the judge about a concern, events that have happened, anything that's documented, and we ask them to do some type of evaluation, perhaps limit some type of parenting time if kids are involved to determine whether or not there's really an issue. And if it's vice versa, I mean, if there's really nothing to hide and there's really no cause for concern and the other side is inquiring, then, you know, we're open about things. I like to tackle things head on. I think that if you're open about certain things and express to the court and are forthcoming and honest, it's going to serve you much better in the outcome of your case rather than trying to hide an issue.
If one side has a history of mental illness, can it impact custody and visitation?
It can. It depends to what degree, though. So, like I said, depression, anxiety that's controlled with a daily dose of medication that has never posed a problem before is not something that's going to pose a problem during your custody. For example, a spouse can't come to the court and say, well, I work full-time and my wife is home with the kids all day, but she has depression and anxiety, and now that we're getting divorced, she really shouldn't have any time with the children, and she's unsafe and she's unstable. We're going to look at that person and say, but when you weren't getting divorced, she was fine to look after the kids, right? So if it's something like that that's managed, that the kids have never been put in harm's way, that there's never been anything brought up that would question that person's ability to parent, ability to make sound decisions for the benefit of their children, if there's never been an incident where they were put in harm's way, then it really shouldn't. It's when things that have already happened and we are worried about a child's safety is when it could definitely affect custody and parenting time.
Well, Elizabeth, this is such an important topic. And for listeners who want to continue having this conversation with you, how do they find you?
So we'd be happy to speak to anybody that has a concern. They can give us a call at 732-377-3367, or they can find us on our website at www.rgfamilylaw.com. That's RG, like Robert George, familylaw.com.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us. Stick around.
Thank you, too.
We'll be right back.
Elizabeth Rosen-Golander is dedicated to divorce and family law. She received the Martin S. Golden Family Law Award in 2019. She was named the Young Lawyer of the Year for Middlesex County in 2018. She's also received the New Jersey Super Lawyers Rising Star Award from 2016 right up to the present. And she's also a trustee of the Middlesex County Bar Association. Elizabeth Rosen-Golander can handle all aspects of divorce and family law, including domestic violence cases. Her firm services all of New Jersey. For a free case evaluation, please call Elizabeth Rosen-Golander at 732-377-3367. That's 732-377-3367. Call Elizabeth Rosen-Golander for your case review. Call 732-377-3367.
Bibita Spinelli is a wellness coach, psychotherapist, and founder of Opening the Door Psychotherapy. She provides an encouraging and safe place for clients to explore what's been holding them back while challenging them to make positive and healthy changes. This transformation then blossoms into something magical so they can survive and thrive. Bibita, welcome.
Hi, Alyssa. Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, great to have you. You know, often we talk about how people feel ashamed that they're going through a divorce, and then they feel even more ashamed to admit they're going into therapy. But we know that's not true. How do you erase that stigma?
Great question, Alyssa. You know, part of erasing that stigma is really trying to normalize that divorce is one of the most stressful experiences in someone's life, and that it does involve experiencing things like anxiety, sadness, overwhelm, kind of similar to some of the things. It's a loss that we would feel if there was the ending of something or a death. And so normalizing the fact that these kinds of things take place in divorce and it is connected to a feeling of shame or failure is really significant because these are common feelings. And so for some individuals, there is the experience that they want to push those feelings aside because it creates a lot of shame. They feel that they failed because they're getting divorced, or if they have those kinds of emotions that there is something wrong with them. And I really want to normalize that to say that these are normal emotions and that it is important to get that kind of support. And when it comes to therapy, that it truly is that really safe, supportive space to process these feelings and to be able to move forward in a really healthy way in one's life.
You know, and a lot of the things that they have to process are things like anxiety, fear, anger about the end of their marriage. And you tell people that they need to take a pause, peel that away, and then really understand that they have a lot of inner strength behind that, and you help bring that out. How do you go about doing that with your clients?
Absolutely. So there's a framework that I really use with the majority of my clients, which I also do want to say everybody has their own unique journey as well. But what I noticed is that there are some common themes, and having had my own personal experience, but in working with many clients, I think the first part is really facing those fears, as difficult and uncomfortable as it is, and really addressing some of those uncomfortable feelings. I then move them into sort of a deeper appreciation of themselves, learning about themselves. Who are they in terms of this version that's coming out? What are the things they want to keep? What are the things they want to let go? What are the things that they've realized might be an opportunity for growth, although it was hard? What are some of the obstacles or challenges they faced, and how might we want to move them into a place that can feel healthier for them? And then from there, you know, sort of priming ourselves to really creating a roadmap or a blueprint about what would this meaningful new future look like for them now, really sort of taking something that has been so difficult and challenging and painful, but realizing that there still is an opportunity for this amazing transformative space, and they can really rebuild that and actually heal from what they've been through, but also that they can feel more empowered in leading their life. The tools that I use for that, a lot of it is working on our confidence, our self-worth, realizing how one can move from a, you know, we to a me or an I, and really navigating those spaces in terms of what are their boundaries, what are their negotiables, what are their wants and needs. So it really is such a robust package of stuff when I work with clients, moving them from their emotional states all the way into sort of a blueprint, into something that they can hold on to that is transformative and healthy and positive.
Explain why working on yourself is a process and the focus of your 8-module, 38-tool online course, Rebuilding Your Life After Your Divorce or Meaningful Breakup.
I'm so glad that you brought up my course, because what I really wanted to do as a psychotherapist, you know, and of course a certified coach, was I wanted a broader reach for people beyond the one-on-one individual space, which is still there, which I highly advocate with regard to people going through divorce, you know, reaching out for that individual therapy. But I wanted that broader reach so that there are many individuals who can hop online and utilize this framework that I've created at their own pace for themselves in their own time. So as you said, Alyssa, there's, you know, 8 robust modules. There's about 36 tools. You know, these tools have a lot of stuff around personal development. So the tools offer things like working through spaces around self-worth, realizing what you want in terms of your future self. The tools include things like parts work, which is very, you know, therapeutic. You know, there's a part of me that feels like this. There's a part of me that may want or desire this. The tools also create a bit of a roadmap around unpeeling some of those emotional layers, but then how do we move forward from them? So a lot of this stuff that I work with one-on-one with clients is in this course, and I'm so excited about it because I have seen such amazing results for people who've already started taking it. And so I would highly advocate for anyone who's dealing with a divorce or a meaningful, you know, long-term relationship breakup to really think about their therapeutic needs and think about what they might need to help them move forward.
And I'd love for you to share what some of those achievements have been from those clients, because people get excited when they hear how others have. I'll go back to the word survive and thrive from a course such as this. It encourages them to want to take part.
Absolutely. So for many people, I'll name some of the things, that my clients have said about this course. I've heard things like this, that at first they felt that was it, you know, that they couldn't move forward. They were so devastated by the end of their marriage, because at the end of the day, it is the end of something that they thought that they would be in forever. And through this course, they faced processing some of their feelings. They really could sit down and take the time and envision a different chapter for them, something that felt bright and hopeful. I've had other clients say that they actually didn't know how to even go about figuring out what they wanted and needed, that in their marriage, they spent so much time maybe accommodating their partner that they didn't kind of even know who they were anymore. And so through some of those tools, they found that they really did the work. There's like homework involved, that they connected to that person, that empowered male or female that might have lost themselves. And so they loved that and were truly just thrilled about how they could then see themselves in that way and connect more deeply to who they are. So that's just a little bit about some of the feedback that I've gotten. I think one more thing that I think was really powerful feedback was when someone reached out and they're a parent, and they said that they couldn't believe how they can manage even the co-parenting aspect because of working on the course and really connecting more beautifully in a healthy way about who they are.
And for people who want to connect with you, Bibita, how do they find you?
Sure. They can go to my website, openingthedoorpsychotherapy.com. They can also go to my social media pages. I'm on Facebook, Bibita Spinelli. Or they can just do the old-fashioned way and call 347-884-7316.
Thank you, Bibita. We'll be right back.
Bibita Spinelli is the owner of Opening the Doors Psychotherapy and the CEO of the Bibita Spinelli Group. She's an award-winning psychotherapist, global relations expert, divorce coach, and mental health consultant who's been featured in over 40 media outlets like Forbes, Bloomberg, Oprah, Men's Health, and more. Bibita recognizes that one size does not fit all, and she founded the Embrace Framework, which utilizes an array of tools, methodologies, and approaches customized to each client to deliver positive and healthy results. Her specialties include divorce recovery and rebuilding life after divorce, narcissism, infidelity, corporate mental health, and life traditions. Bibita recently launched a global online course with robust modules and over 36 tools to help clients rebuild their life after divorce or long-term relationship breakups. Go to BibitaSpinelliGroup.com. That's BibitaSpinelliGroup.com. BibitaSpinelliGroup.com.
Catherine Ford is the founder of the Excellence Institute, a club designed for women to help them rechannel and rebuild as they carefully craft their next chapter in their life. Catherine's mission is to guide women to developing an improved version of themselves following a divorce so they can survive and thrive. Catherine, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Well, we are thrilled to have you. You know, as I said earlier in this broadcast, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and a big theme for the work you do centers on the word empowerment. How do you encourage women to invest in themselves, especially if they have been the victims of domestic violence?
That's such a great question. At Excellence Institute, I focus on teaching women the art of practicing radical self-love. It will absolutely change your life. I say love you more. As someone who has personally experienced domestic violence in its many forms, actually the last of which was finding myself in the midst of a gun incident, I truly understand the meaning of terror. My life evolved literally into a living hell, and I found myself just entangled in darkness. And the key at this point was to begin to search for light in the darkness of the tragedy. This changed everything for me, and it absolutely does for everyone and anyone experiencing the tremendous pain of domestic violence. Radical self-love includes investing, for the most part, in your inner world.
By the time a woman discovers she's been a victim of domestic violence, her self-worth has likely been severely diminished. When a woman joins Excellence Institute, I introduce her to my 7-step system for living a life of excellence, no matter what she's been through or is currently facing. And this approach includes how to practice the art of self-care, gratitude, how to find peace and joy in her life again, establishing a strong, healthy sense of self-worth, and how to practice the art of forgiveness as a gift to herself. So I design incredible next chapters for women who are ready to make the rest of their life the best of their life. I did it for myself, and I've done it for so many other women. Nothing lights me up more than watching a woman's life soar after the process of uncoupling and/or healing from domestic violence. Investing in herself is a necessary requirement.
And, you know, you touched upon something, the thought and the feeling when you feel like you're isolated, because you're not only going through a divorce, which can feel isolating, but then you're the victim of domestic violence. And that brings a whole other wave of emotions. What mm-hmm. I love so much about the Excellence Institute, which you started in 2013, was designed to show women that they're not alone. Your organization makes people feel a part of a community, and they are surrounded by people who understand.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Excellence Institute is an amazing community of women where each woman is creating her next chapter. So it's priceless to be surrounded by like-minded women whose specific circumstances will likely be different, but who are also all learning my powerful tools and practices to create their own life of excellence. Studies show we are the average of the 5 people we spend the most time with. So bringing in this community of women who are all focused on healing and creating positive change, guided by my expertise, will change the entire trajectory of her life.
And these courses and these classes that you teach women who are feeling lost due to a toxic or abusive marriage really helps them refocus on rediscovering who they are. And when they get that confidence, you say, and this is something I really love and I hope people listen to, their personal life and their professional life is going to soar.
Definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is because our self-worth has everything to do with how much health, wealth, and love we allow into our lives. And studies show our net worth is equal to our self-worth. So just let that land. Our net worth is equal to our self-worth. Self-worth is primarily defined by who we believe ourselves to be and not about how someone else might see us. It's about our relationship with ourselves, our love turned inward, and how brightly we allow our light to shine. So it's incredibly refreshing to know that we do not need approval from anyone else to feel like we're worthy of all that we would love. So to know that you're meant for more, way more, and then to take the steps to work with someone who's highly trained to support you in actualizing your dreams is the thrill of a lifetime, especially when you've been through a toxic relationship. It's vitally important to learn how to create the next most amazing chapter in our lives, to begin to heal and dream again. To begin to bring a greater version of ourselves into our life is so powerful and requires us to build an image of a greater, more expansive self in our mind. So if there's one thing I want women to find out from this, you know, us talking right now about themselves, is to really know that they truly can create the next most amazing chapter. It's waiting for them if they're willing to invest in themselves and manage the most important real estate they will ever manage, their mind. Investing in yourself through high-level empowerment support really is critical to coming out on the other side, having created an incredible next chapter filled with an abundance of health, wealth, and love.
And can you explain how the courses and the classes are structured?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Each member is part of group conference calls where I do my teaching and I'm live on the call for Q&A and shares. It's so great for everyone to hear from a woman who shares how using one of the specific tools made a dramatic difference in her life. So the community in and of itself is so powerful. And it's a conference call, so you can remain private or participate to the level that you're comfortable. I meet women where they are at. Then each woman receives powerful private time with me. This private time is extremely important because this is not a one-size-fits-all. During her private time with me, I get to know her and her individual situation and circumstances so I can get her on the path to healing and then shift into what she would love her next chapter to look like. So once we have that established, I support her in bringing that into her reality.
Wow, I love that. What would you say are some of the common goals that people like working towards?
Personal? That's a great
professional
question. Both. And one of the beautiful uniquenesses of Excellence Institute is we look at the whole woman. We look at her health and well-being, and we dial that up. Her relationships, the goal there is to bring in rich relationships, and her time and money freedom, what she's passionate about, her work in the world. So it's all encompassing.
And for people who may be getting back into the work world after maybe taking a long hiatus because they were raising children, how do you encourage them that they can do this, especially after feeling like, you know, they've been beaten up a lot from being a victim of domestic violence and now having to compete with all these other people who've haven't left the workforce?
Right. Well, I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible, and it's actually a wonderful journey. We know that our net worth equals our self-worth. So that in and of itself is a wonderful goal to know that when we're working on our self-worth, it not only up-levels our health and well-being, our relationships, but also how much we are allowing, how much financial flow we're allowing into our life. So I want to say that there are highly effective tools to quickly transform this. So not to fear the process, but to step into it and know that you absolutely have the power to create everything in your life that you would love, including your career, including what you do for your work in the world, no matter how long you have been, say, outside of doing that.
I love that. And I bet you they are going to feel so empowered taking this course. And when they get that first paycheck, what a feeling.
Definitely.
Catherine, for people who want to get in touch with you and take your courses and learn more about how to empower themselves, how do they find you?
I would invite them to go to excellenceinstitute.com. And for everyone and anyone listening who's interested in finding out more about working with me, go to excellenceinstitute.com/application. Simply complete the short application and my assistant will be in touch with you to schedule a 30-minute complimentary one-on-one.
Well, everybody, take advantage of it, and don't forget to stick around because we'll be right back.
Catherine Ford is the founder and CEO of Excellence Institute, a fabulous women's club for those who love the finer things in life and they know they are meant for more. She's a celebrity coach and consultant, an award-winning women's empowerment expert, transforming women every day. She's an expert at taking women to their most amazing next chapter in life. She will teach you conscious self-mastery. Catherine designs incredible next chapters for women who are ready to make the rest of their life the best of their life. Learn how to create the next most amazing chapter of your life. Catherine's life's journey is one of tragedy to triumph, having experienced a highly toxic and emotional abusive marriage and having faced over 30 years of serious chronic medical condition. She's a great example and role model for her clients. Go to excellenceinstitute.com/application to meet with Catherine for a 30-minute private consultation. That's excellenceinstitute.com/application.
Susan Guthrie is known as one of the top family law mediation attorneys in the country. In addition to being one of the most sought-after legal experts for more than 30 years, Susan also hosts a popular podcast called Divorce and Beyond, which recently celebrated its 100th episode. Susan, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you, Alyssa. It was so exciting to reach such a bedrock moment, 100 episodes.
Well, what a wonderful milestone. And speaking of that podcast, I want to go to the title, Divorce and Beyond. Describe what beyond means.
Yeah, it was such a deliberate choice to go with Divorce and Beyond. I felt that I wanted to support people with my 30-plus years of experience in the divorce industry, but I really want people to be focused on their life after the divorce, because to focus too much on divorce is really getting people stuck in that very difficult place. And really, life begins again when the divorce is final and you enter that beyond. So I try to focus very much on keeping people focused forward to the time in their life where they get the divorce, which is really just a finite period in their life, hopefully shorter and not longer, and they can move forward into that new future.
You know, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and on Monday, October 11th, your podcast is dedicating an episode to this very topic. Tell us more.
Yeah, it's such an important month, and it's such an important topic to raise awareness, you know, for domestic violence and intimate partner violence. So I reached out to one of my close friends and colleagues in Connecticut, attorney Uzba Khan, who for the past 2 years has been working as the staff attorney for one of the local women's shelters and domestic violence services in Connecticut. And so she has really spent 2 years immersed in helping people in truly horrible situations. And you know, one of the things we decided to focus on was how to go to court to get a restraining order, because the reality is that unless you have an attorney like Uzba available to you through a service or through the shelter in which you are in, and really not many of them can afford that type of service, many people have to go to court on their own to seek that type of protection. So Uzba joins me for that episode, and she really walks people through sort of a step-by-step how to go about getting both the initial ex parte order as well as a, you know, hopefully permanent order of protection if it's needed.
And I assume people have to have proof in order to do that. And what are just a few examples of proof people will need?
Well, the very first proof or evidence, you know, as we would talk about it in a courtroom, would be your testimony, your words, yourself as the person who is in fear of imminent harm or physical harm. And so really having very specific details of why you are afraid and what has happened to you in the past at the hands of the person you are seeking the order against is actually truly critical. And I know it's hard because these are very difficult things for people to talk about. But a critical part of your initial application is an affidavit to the court setting out exactly why, with as much specificity as possible and as much detail as possible, why you are seeking, why it is so important that you get this order, why you need the protection. And then, you know, things like police reports. If the police were called, we talk quite a bit about that because it's not as easy as you might think to have that submitted into evidence. And so she walks through the steps you need to go through to get the police report, have the police officer be in court, and have them testify as well. And then, you know, if you have pictures, if you have been harmed, or if furniture or walls have been destroyed or someone punched the wall and put a hole in it, take pictures. A picture in a courtroom is truly worth a thousand words. And, you know, so that supportive documentation can be incredibly helpful.
Yeah. You know, and you also recommend your clients work with a coach. And it goes back to the title of your podcast, the beyond part of it, because there's many different types of coaches that can help someone when they're forming a team think that far ahead to their new life? And how do they retain somebody? What kind of coach should they be working with so they can survive and thrive as they start moving forward?
Yeah, such a good point. And I love the survive and thrive because that's really the key point. And, you know, after as many years as I have been practicing, I know the importance of financial professionals in divorce. I know the importance of parenting specialists and therapists in the divorce process for people. But what came later to me was an understanding of the true value of coaches in the variety of formats that they come in for helping people when it comes specifically to the beyond. Coaches are very helpful for people who find themselves, and this is so common, they find themselves in this place where because of the divorce, because of this restructuring in their family and the vast changes in their life, they are now looking at a future that is either blank or is dark to them because it no longer is the future that they once saw. And they are often afraid of what's coming or just can't see what they want that future to look like. And so coaches, and there are a variety of coaches, you know, you can have coaches who can be helping you with business, and you can have coaches who can be helping you with communication, coaches who can be helping you with transformation and empowerment. But all of them are helping you look toward that future, not so much looking toward what has happened in the past to get you to where you are. And it's such a critical part because you don't want to go through the year or more, someone like you, you know, goes through years of a divorce process and then find yourself at the date, you know, the gavel comes down and your papers are signed and the divorce is final. And then suddenly you're left with, you know, now what do I do? You really can be building toward that new future as you work through the issues of your divorce. And the resolutions that you come to, the agreements, hopefully, that you're going to come to with your spouse as you negotiate your divorce, if you know where you're going with the help of a coach, you can actually be making negotiated agreements that help you get there.
You talked about a lot of people are scared to ask for an order of protection because they're scared that the abuser may retaliate. Could a coach help them kind of and guide them and encourage them why it's important to step forward?
Absolutely. And I think that is especially critical if you are the victim of abuse, and that can be physical abuse, mental abuse, financial abuse. Abuse is abuse. And so many people are victims. Victims look very different from how many people think a victim of abuse will look. Abuse happens in relationships of every kind, in every social stratosphere. Anyone can be a victim, and there is a great deal of fear, but there's also, you know, steps that can be taken to help you move forward, to help empower you, and to keep you safe. That is another element that I think is really important. And if you are in a high conflict or abusive situation, a coach who specializes in dealing with that type of recovery can be especially helpful because not only are they going to help you move forward and build a new future, but they are also going to know how to help you exit the relationship safely or as safely as possible, how to protect your children and support your children. Children are the most affected by seeing abuse in their parents' relationships. Really, a coach in that type of a situation especially can be incredibly effective and supportive.
No, this is so great. Susan, for people who want to get in touch with you and also listen to the podcast, how do they do that?
You know, really the easiest way is to go to the podcast website, which is divorceandbeyondpod.com. There's ways to access both getting in touch with me, listen to all of the podcast episodes, and as well join our membership community so you can take a little bit deeper dive.
No, thank you, Susan, so much. This has been so incredibly helpful. And, you know, as Susan just said, and all our experts said, make taking care of you on your to-do list your number one priority, because as Susan just said, and our experts today discussed, that it starts and ends with you. You know, last week I mentioned that we were going to share different domestic violence resources during the month of October. So if you or someone you know is a victim of domestic violence, you have a place to turn. The Office for the Prevention of Domestic Violence can be reached at 1-800-942-6906. Safe Horizons 24-hour hotline is 1-800-621-HOPE. Join us next week when we welcome Rhonda Nordic of the Women's Financial Wellness Center, Paulette Rigo of the Better Divorce Academy, and Bill Eddy of the High Conflict Institute. I want to leave you with this quote by Maya Angelou, which I think will ring true for domestic violence victims. If one has the courage, nothing can dim the light that shines from within. Please, don't let anyone hurt you or soften your glow. Get help. Get help, get help, get help. I'm your host, Alyssa Panitz. Until next time.
Susan Guthrie invites you to listen to the Divorce and Beyond podcast, created and hosted by one of the top family law attorneys and mediators in our country, Susan Guthrie. Susan has 30 years' experience in the field. She's the voice you can trust to bring you the experts and information you can trust. The Divorce and Beyond podcast is available on all major podcast outlets and in video on the Divorce and Beyond YouTube channel. Plus, we've recently launched a subscription members-only community with exclusive private podcast episodes, access to the Ask Susan Anything forum, downloadable forms and checklists, exclusive videos and sharing events. Join for only $10 a month. Get the Divorce and Beyond podcast today. It's available on our website at divorceandbeyond.com. That's divorceandbeyond.com.